This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Barbara Ingram,
Jan Minelda,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Barbara, you were involved from the very early days with Friends of the Regent. Now, what exactly is that?
Right, it's a group of people who were invited to attend a meeting at the Regent in 1995 to see if we could get a group who would be interested in the ongoing future of the Regent, supporting it as not as paid people but as volunteers.
So what was the state of the Regent then?
The Regent was in a very sorry state. We were in the middle of the campaign to save the Regent, and the Regent Theatre Trust Board had been formed, and I was a member of that at the time. The City Council paid for me to go down to Dunedin to see how their Friends of the Regent Theatre in Dunedin worked, and got some good ideas from that. And when I came back, I was able to call on Cindy Lilburn, who's in Historic Places Trust, and Stephen Fisher, and Wana Davis, who was City Councillor at the time. They all supported this too, and we ended up having a meeting at the Regent in October 1995, and there were over 70 people who we'd invited who arrived, all fired up, ready to go. Okay. We were determined to save the Regent. We didn't feel the city needed another parking lot or another office.
So it was under threat at the time?
Yes, well, it was originally, but the campaign got started, and this was sort of towards the latter part of the campaign that the Friends of the Regent was formed. Okay. But earlier on, it was definitely under threat, and then the City Council bought the theatre, and for a $14 million upgrade, which the public decided that we would go for the $14 million instead of the lesser value ones, which would only be patch-up jobs.
Okay.
The council put in $10 million, sorry. Lotto put in $1 million, and the public were entrusted with the task of raising $1.7 million, which we did in just over a year, which was brilliant, and it's done in all sorts of ways. Lots and lots of different fundraising activities went on.
Okay. And that's and Friends of the Regent was
formed in that.
Doing
yes,
that sort of.
Yes. And we'd have open days at the theatre, and this group, people from this group, would show people around the theatre and say what a sorry sight it was, with the plaster work being washed away in places inside the theatre.
The building was leaking, was it?
Oh, yes, yes. The spouting was in critical state.
Were there many buildings in Palmerston North like that, or was?
I'm not sure. There's the only. Do you mean as in performance?
Yeah.
Venues?
Was it a matter of trying to preserve a historic
yes.
building, or to preserve a large performance venue, or a bit of both?
Bit of both.
Because
yes,
there was an opera house as well, wasn't it?
The opera house had been demolished.
Yeah. It hadn't been at that stage. That came a bit after that. So, once the Regent was a go-ahead, the last few events were held at the Opera House, and then that closed down and was demolished.
So I thought it's better to try and preserve one properly than to try and
keep the Regent was a bigger venue too.
Okay.
Quite a bigger one. Originally there were 1,600 seats in it, but with the refurbishment, the seats were all widened a bit to cope with the present-day trend. And it was reduced to 1,400, and then they reduced it another. They did away with 7 more seats when they staggered the upstairs rows.
Okay.
So that now 1,393 seats.
So what had it been used for originally? Was it the same as now?
No, it was more a cinema.
Yeah.
It was one of the Kirijodi inline cinemas, one of the 49 Regents in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
which I was staggered when I counted up. Not many of them are left operating now, but it was definitely movie theatre, but they did have live shows as well. The stage was quite small. The sort of stories about the New Zealand Ballet having to be very careful if they leapt off the stage into the wings because they hit the wall. There was very little room in the wings, whereas that was all extended out to make it much more user-friendly.
Okay.
And there were tiny little dressing rooms upstairs, and you can imagine ballet tutus all trying to get up and down the stairs, down a single access stairway.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So did both of you actually go to the Regent when it was a cinema? I did.
Yeah.
Yes. I do remember the mural above the
proscenium arch.
Yes. And wondered how, as a small child, how on earth somebody got up there to paint it.
So what was it? Is that, do they have that now, or is it something different?
Oh, yes.
The same one?
Mm-hmm.
It was restored back exactly as it was.
It was cleaned mainly.
Yes.
There wasn't much restoration work needed for that, but it was cleaning it, because the theatre was filthy. Mm. It really was.
But even right down to the carpet was loomed from a piece that was found under the stairs.
Okay.
Exactly as the original.
Okay, so it was a strong effort for authenticity.
Oh, yes,
right.
Yes, we aimed for integrity right throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
One of the stranger pieces of integrity was the linoleum. When you first went in through the main doors, you were greeted with a linoleum flooring.
Yep.
And that went up, and then there were three marble stairs across, and then the linoleum carried on in the foyer. And it was decided that it was too noisy and too cold, so Feltex very kindly wove the same pattern of the linoleum into a carpet.
Oh, okay.
And that's been put over top of the linoleum. The lino's still underneath it.
Okay.
But it's an identical pattern.
Yeah.
And and as Jan said, the other carpet, the floral carpet that goes up the stairs and right through the auditorium, was woven from this piece that was found under three other pieces of carpet,
if you remember it from very early on, has it changed a lot? They've tried to restore it to look as it was, but do you feel it is, does it bring back memories to you of your childhood, or there's something different about it?
The interior, the auditorium
does.
The auditorium is very much the same.
Yeah.
But, for instance, the nibble nook and a few...
The nibble nook.
Yes. I think the name says it. and the foyer was different, wasn't it? In that the ticket office and... it was...
Okay. So you'd have to go there to buy nibbles. Was that popcorn or Jaffers that you could you roll
Jaffers,
things down the floor?
Yes,
there?
Bound to have been Jaffers.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
And ice creams and no alcohol though. It was all. It was
so
just
you
soft
didn't
drinks.
Have people in the interval with
the
trays and the torch.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Okay, so you could buy things in
the ice cream boys.
Yes,
yes.
They were boys, were they?
Oh, usually.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they were usually boys.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, Friends of the Regent. Then, what were you? What was your part in Friends of the Regent?
Well, I was, as I said, sent to Dunedin to sound out how we could set this up, and then I got to with a couple of other women. Well, Cindy Lilburn was one of them.
Mm.
Another one was Lynn Payne, who was the wife of one of our trust board members. And together we worked out the list of who we should invite, and we tried to incorporate all the arts and people that we knew would be interested in this sort of thing. And at the first meeting in October 1995, we formed a committee, and I was nominated and made the founding president.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, we had committee meetings every month, right up until the theatre was opening, working out our role, all sorts of things, how we could help, how we could fundraise, what our uniforms would be. We had one woman who suggested that perhaps we should wear, long black lycra dresses, which didn't go down a treat. We were imagining having to rush up and down stairs and things wearing long black lycra dresses.
Lycra dresses. Yes. I've come across lycra for cyclists.
Yeah. I think it would be similar somehow. Yeah. So most unsuitable for ushering.
Yeah. It wasn't just the fundraising and so on you were doing then. It was a lot of activities in the first fundraising while they were and then the renovation, and then it was being when was the theatre being used right through? Or
no, it was actually we were taking tours through in the early stages of the restoration, and then we had to stop it because it was a building site and unsafe.
So you had uniforms even for that, did you?
No, we had t-shirts then we would wear for open days and things like that. With the Regent logo on it. We had a company in Palmerston North who had registered our logo so that it was officially ours.
And the logo is?
The Regent R.
Large curly capital R.
Yes. That was originally on the ends of all the seats in the Regent, so we adopted that as our logo. And we worked out what our uniform would be, which was a maroon waistcoat for the women, a black waistcoat for the men, white shirts, men with a black bow tie, and then either black trousers or black skirt, or black skirts for the women, black skirts for the men, and
trousers for the men.
And trousers for the men. Yes. And from there on, we were all set to go. We had training meetings to train the people who had volunteered to be ushers.
Yeah. How many people do that?
At the moment we've got about 70, I think, isn't it?
73, I think.
It's fluctuated. It tends to be a lot of people originally volunteered thinking, oh, good, I'll get in and see the show. But that's not always the way, because you have got duties that you're expected to perform.
So how many would be on duty for an evening, for a show?
Depends on the numbers of the audience.
Last night we had 7 ushers.
Yeah.
7 on catering and 6 on ushering,
okay.
So that was 13 for a pretty small show.
Okay.
But we were all busy.
Are they mainly retired people who do this, or?
Well, it does tend to be that way, doesn't it? We try to bring up our numbers of younger people, but it's
quite a lot of, 50-plus, I would say.
I think time can be hard, especially if you're working and you've got family as well.
Well, if you have got a young family, it's fairly difficult.
The standard volunteer thing.
And there's a lot of daytime shows, especially local ones, which mean that you have to have a full complement of crew on.
So you started with the fundraising. And then there was all the renovation, and so how long did each of these phases take?
Well, the restoration took from 1996, I think it started, and it finished. The fundraising, we reached the $1.7 million that was the public's contribution on Christmas Eve 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was in about less than 2 years?
It was very good. And the theatre opened on the 3rd of May 1998. So we were pretty tight.
Were they actually doing some of the work while it was still raising?
Absolutely, yes. We committed to it.
Okay.
And of course, once we had the Lotto support and the City Council support, plus a large number of businesses in town who contributed, varying amounts of money, but absolutely amazing.
Began by, first of all, buying a seat, $500 for a seat upstairs, but also contributing through Central Park, wasn't it?
That was through Central Park, yes.
You just added I've forgotten, $2
to your
car
your bill.
And so a lot of people in Manawatu would have done that. Yes.
So all those people who joined that way were automatically made official members of the Friends of the Region. It was one way of increasing our gene pool.
And then I think all of those would have received a letter. Would they like to help in some way?
It's a good way to find potential volunteers.
And that's how I started.
So once we were all set to go, trained up, ready to go.
So you went through the training, Jen?
She did.
Probably the very first training.
And what did it involve then?
To be honest, I don't remember the first training. But at that stage, it was safety in the theatre and how to deal with customers, showing them to seats, etc. Our training's evolved over the years.
So is it fairly straightforward? Or
Pretty straightforward. You do have incidents that require a little bit of thinking, but on the whole it's...
And several of our members are members are first aid trained, and we have the defibrillator there, and we're trained in that, the use of that.
I was involved in one thing where there are quite a lot of people from the retirement villages going, and it took about half an hour for a van load of people to come because of all their mobility issues.
Well, the biggest one during the opening, we had a 2-week opening festival, and the biggest one was Mother's Day concert, and we had all these people from the old people's homes coming with wheelchairs and wheelchairs and walkers and wheelchairs, and it was chaotic to say the least. There were no bookings taken for it. It was a case of you got in, and if you got in, well, you were lucky. It was a gold coin donation, so there was no sort of monetary obligation to attend, whereas nowadays if you buy a seat you make sure you go. But it was just absolutely overwhelming. The queue went right up the road both directions to get in there. And all these, I'll never forget all the wheelchairs and things.
Well, we have learned that as someone comes with a wheelchair, you put a name on it or a seat number on it so that you know exactly where that
is. They sit in a seat rather than in the wheelchair.
If they can.
If they can.
I was going to say, you've learned some lessons.
We have learned through the years, yes.
What about hearing then? Because a lot of older people can't
hear. There is a hearing loop in the theatre.
Which does what?
Well, it just amplifies the sound for people tune in their hearing aids to it.
So it's not for every... It's not the speakers, it's something for their hearing aids that tune it? Or
yes. There are speakers, but it's... but this is a special loop that goes around...
That the hearing aids pick up.
So that was sort of one of the eye-openers for the opening festival. We hadn't sort of bargained on that, but boy, they came out of the woodwork for that one.
There'd be a lot of behind the scenes work there for running something like the region,
There's a paid staff and technical people, theatre manager, administrators, booking crew, booking reservations team. What else is there, Jen? That's about it, isn't it? Technical administration. And the office. Ticket Direct and Ticketek all off.
So you got some online things and the ticket office and internal ticket office. How do they... there's a fairly full schedule at the Regent, isn't there?
It has its very busy periods.
Yes.
And it has a quiet time over January, isn't it? January tends to be pretty quiet.
I think we have 13 events this month. So we have 31 days. That's not bad.
How are they organised? So most of them sort of local, university prize giving and school?
Yes, school concerts, dance schools,
Last weekend was Kapahaka, the senior regionals, which there were some wonderful groups there. Next weekend, the entire weekend, is Palmerston North Dance Association.
Okay.
Last night was Midur, a concert.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I can't tell you much about him, but the music sounded good from the bar where I was. It's a great variety.
The Chinese community always have a huge celebration over Chinese New Year.
The Vietnamese had one this year too.
Okay.
We're getting more cultural.
Yeah, the multicultural society does some things, don't we, I believe.
So the ballet's coming.
Yeah.
And the ballet love our venue.
Yeah. Is there a preference for local rather than sort of touring?
No.
Okay.
It just works in with the schedule. If they want to come, they usually have to book for some of the overseas things at least 2 years in advance to make sure they've got their dates to do with their tour.
Yeah.
It is a community theatre, though, owned by the council, so that we do have a lot of school.
Prize givings and all sorts of things. And then the local theatre people, Abbey and Manawatu Theatre, they have it for certain periods for their shows. What's the one this year? It's
Sister Act.
That's right.
It's coming in April.
So they have it usually for a couple of weeks, isn't it? Their
season. Would that be the main? Well, you got the Spears Centre at Boys High, but that would be much smaller. So the region would be the main venue. In fact, for the whole this part of the North Island.
And we pull in from the Wairarapa. Whanganui come through, although they're. Their opera house is open now, and but from down the Kapiti Coast, you know, we get people from all over. We even get people from you know, Taranaki and Hawke's Bay coming over to different things, because a lot of these touring shows don't go to all the regional centres. But ours being a reasonably good size, they tend to focus on coming here, which is good.
Now, you're saying various things happen sometimes in these shows. Are there any incidents that stand out for either of you? What problems might you have to deal with?
One that I always laugh about. We had a delightful elderly couple on the team, and the woman was very matter-of-fact and efficient. Anyway, we have this rule that no video recordings can be taken during shows. And one night I was on ushering, and this woman said to me, "Someone over there's got a video camera going. I can see the little red light flashing." And so she stormed over there to go and take. This was during the show, and she went over there, and she came back very shamefaced and said it was her Christmas earrings. So that was quite a good one to remember. We've had moments where we've had to call the ambulance.
I remember one 50th birthday. This was on the mezzanine floor. Do you remember that? I think you were there when three times the alarm went off.
Yes.
Because the smoke machine was...
That's right.
Oh, it was triggering me.
So evacuate.
In the middle of the 50th party,
Some of the shows have set the smoke alarm off too, but I think they've got it...
We had one recently.
Because you've had some big bands and concert there that can be quite loud as well.
And the symphony orchestra, of course, perform there, which is lovely. We get
them. They will be here next week.
That's right, during their what's it not packed in, packing in, or something like that, isn't it? So they've got two nights.
So you find are they the sort of, what would you call, I don't know if high culture is the right way, do they, the ballet and the opera and so on, are they well supported?
Reasonably well, yes.
The New Zealand Ballet can be just about a full house, or both. We have the Moscow Ballet as well, or the Russian Ballet.
Russian Ballet,
Depends a wee bit on what the ballet is. People seem to like the traditional more than the more modern.
And the audiences for those, are they, do you get many young people going to those?
Oh, yes. I love seeing the little girls arrive for the ballet because they all have their little pink skirts on and their, their sparkles. Okay. Yeah, they can really come dressed up for it. It's lovely.
Okay. So the girls like that. Are there anything that that sort of schoolboys are drawn to?
No, but I've been a little bit interested the concert programme. And the talk that's been going on.
Yeah, there's
about
an issue at the moment that they were going to close it and make it a youth station.
But they say that it's only the over 50s, that's over 65s. But we get a lot of students coming to the National Orchestra.
And they get special reduced rates.
Well, they will do, But even so, they are interested.
They want to see it,
So I don't believe that, that concert... classical music is only for older people.
And the other thing is that maybe it's something that the young people will want when they're older, so you want to maintain it.
They're getting a grounding in it.
Get them some exposure now, so they can appreciate
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the Kiwi Fruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.